Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Paralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Para, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kapheneon. This is Bishop Paralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Para, and our program will be coming to you
with treasure stories about our Lord every Sunday morning at 9:30.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Today we are going to get into some very controversial issues. I hope that and pray that you accept these as facts that did happen. We have written proof, and we also know that the whole issue is God's Spirit comes upon us, even as it did as St. Paul today, if indeed we are representative of the true church, to edify the church. And when mistakes are being made, you know, it's not ridicule, and it's certainly not picking on people that can't answer from the grave, but we also know that there's been many, many false heresies that have tried to enter the church in many, many different instances. Sometimes you find truth to be maybe 80% or 90%, but when it comes to God's prophetic anointing and explanation, with the purpose, only purpose, in fact, is to edify the church, that's a role that the Holy Spirit gives. We know that in Scripture it clearly states apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, all those are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to certain men. Prophecy isn't foretelling the truth in a Nostradamus fashion, necessarily. Although knowing the future, as Scripture describes it, and as it's sometimes hidden in Scripture, especially in the book of Revelation, you know that the purpose for that is for God to let us know the timing that's happening. Certainly in our own personal lives, we know if we're approaching the time when we want to meet the Lord in some form or fashion, not necessarily in the air, as it says in the rapture, as we know it's a common denominator to some Christians that believe, you know, that all Christians will meet Christ in the air. Of course, that's a false premise. The church is the body of Christ, maybe the bride, if it indeed is existing in a true fashion, without spot or blemish, would be acceptable to heaven. You have to understand something. We can't force ourselves into the gates of heaven. We don't have a right. It's God's grace that even allows us to be members or even participants or applicants, if I can say it that way, as we approach into Christianity. And as God does the work with us, he does try to prepare us for us to be in fellowship with him in heaven. And certainly not in any manner or form in opposition to what is truth. And as he spoke it and as he had it written in his most precious book we call the Holy Bible. I have a guest with me today, and he's a wonderful Christian. He's a profound student. He also has his own personal opinions, and certainly he has the Holy Spirit within him too. So if he is in opposition to me today, do not believe that he isn't my brother in Christ. But you know, one thing that we need to do more and more is realize that when God speaks to our hearts, we need to give advice to one another in Christianity. It just seems like the Christian leadership today, if you want to call it Christian leadership, they don't want to take any advice from anyone. They have their own agendas. They believe that they have their own church. In some cases, you constantly read about churches that are ministered to and in the numbers of 43,000 in some cases by men that are totally wrong in what they're doing and are absolutely influencing in a wrong manner many, many sheep that belong to Christ. And that's really the issue. It doesn't really bother me one bit. I don't know how you feel about it, but as a bishop, it doesn't bother me one bit how people believe. But when God moves on my heart and I see a Christian error, and God shows me that it's my duty, that I don't have an option, to certainly go to my Christian brother, whether he be a pastor, whether he be a bishop, whether he be an evangelist. You know, if I knew about the evangelists that headed up, you know, at one time I was a member of the National Association of Evangelical Christians, and the party that headed up that association at that time, and that was in the early 80s, was a very devout man, and I believed in him, and I met him. In fact, when we met President Reagan personally, as the National Association met him during President Reagan's tenure as president in Orlando, I remember quite clearly the brothers that we prayed together, and in fact, as we listened to what the president had to say on a person-to-person basis, it seemed a quality that was there that was honest. It bothers my soul. I'm totally, not unforgiven, but I just feel a terrible feeling inside when the head of the National Association of Evangelicals recently had to resign because of homosexual activity that they found out about him. Must have hurt this family indeed. And it hurt Christians too, because he was in Colorado and we all know who he is. I don't want to name him. I don't want to hurt the man anymore. I'm sure he's repentant. It's hard for me to believe that he's changed his lifestyle. Probably at best he's bisexual. He had to be that if he maintained his proper position as a husband with his wife and his family, his children, bearing children. But nonetheless, he was caught in a very, very dastardly scandal. It scandalized the National Association of Evangelicals. I'm certainly glad I don't belong to them now. And I couldn't, because it really is a Protestant-oriented evangelical movement. And that's where we're going today. We're going to reveal some things that just don't sit well with myself. And it certainly doesn't sit well, I'm sure, with the Lord. Because, we take and idolize some of these pastors. Recently, let's don't pick on the poor pastor from Colorado who no longer heads the National Association. Let's talk about what happened in the past, where Jim Baker, was Jimmy Swigert ever warned? Did God, you know, it says in Scripture that the Lord never moves until first he speaks through his prophets. You see, he speaks through his prophets, not in a prophesying manner, but in an edifying manner. And that is certainly supported by Scripture. So it's a duty of someone, and I'm sure God doesn't just blank us and just say, well, I didn't have time to send you a prophetic anointed person to correct you or to edify you. Therefore, you don't come in the gates of heaven and you're not edified and you do have spots and blemishes. And that's not what the bride of Christ is going to do at that wedding feast. Scripture clearly says what it is. And since I'm seem to be moving around in different directions, let's kind of focus on one person. Jimmy Swigert was personally given a letter, and that letter was dated in prior to his demise. Obviously, God saw him carrying on as a leader and doing some negative sexual activity in a public area, and yet was maintaining a very large TV audience, and so was Jim Baker. And for that matter, this letter was even addressed to Jerry Falwell, our recently deceased Protestant Christian leader. Let me read you a letter that went to the bride, Judah, in the body of Christ, and with references to Zechariah chapter 11. Hearken unto me, my children, is it not time to build up the temple of God, the body of Christ, Judah, the remnant, to be the bride of the Christ, Jesus resurrected into the new Jerusalem, to be without spot or blemish, to have the seal of the oil, the green seal, to become a bridesmaid with sufficient oil, to be snatched up in the twinkling of an eye, no escape, to escape in the tribulation in its greatest horror and woe. My wrath is about to begin. And this is a letter that was sent to Jimmy Swaggart and Jerry Baker and Jerry Falwell. My judgments have fallen. They are now being brought about by my witnesses, prophets who will walk the earth at that time. And that refers to the fact that two witnesses, you know, we hear many times that the Antichrist is alive and well. Well, the two witnesses who are going to be his arch enemies. The black horse will ride between the two brass mountains. And here, famine, spiritual famine is about to land. The churches are having their candles removed. And Christ said that in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters. The leaders are, and here's the issue that God had at this time. The leaders are in politics, and the religious leaders are not in my will. Though even now many are called and coming into my arms, yet they are not being fed by my shepherds. He's talking about his sheep now. I will rescue them from these evil shepherds who conspire and plot and rob me. See, this is a robbing issue by God. Hello, Frank. I see you over there. In case you ever want to intervene here, might help me out a little bit. But is not God interested in all his sheep?
Of course he's interested. He said in Scripture that he wished that none were lost. A perfect indication of that, you know, you mentioned many weeks ago that there are 23,000 different denominations, but yet there's one Holy Spirit, and there's confusion. There should be no confusion in the true Church of Christ. There was no confusion on Pentecost Sunday when Peter got up and 3,000 souls were saved, all hearing the same message in their own tongue. Now there are 23,000 different denominations, 23,000 messages. You can see it on television where people, and in fact, in Scripture, it talks about a Simon who, in Acts it says this, he had this message and he was a sorcerer. And the public and the even the people and the hierarchs, they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. They gave him great heed, and it said this man is the great power of God, yet he was speaking falsely. And in fact, Peter chastised him because he said he saw Peter laying hands on people from the apostolic succession.
That's an interesting passage. In other words, he was trying to participate with the church of its time. In fact, the first primitive church that Christ himself set up through his apostles. But to continue here, that's an interesting comment there, Frank. We'll get back to that again. But this was a prophetic letter given to Jerry Falwell and Jimmy Swaggart and James Baker. And I want to complete it because it does say here that the women are becoming like Lot's wives. And that's God having an issue. Now, he wasn't talking about Islamic women that clothe themselves quite concealing, but he's talking about his children that are women that are in the body of Christ. But their children are not coming to the fathers or drawn by the fathers to the children. Their hearts are hardened. Have I not warned them that it would be a time like Lot's life? That was in Scripture when Christ himself said it'll be like Lot whenever the last days show the anger of God, you know, as far as what he does in acts of God, whether it be weather or what have you, as described in the book of Revelations. Am I not God of my word, saith the Lord? Will I not save my own? Pray not for this world. Be not concerned with the cares of this world. Come unto my peace, saith the Lord. Safety, rescue from the enemy who has Noah's time, and Noah is short and is now raging about trying to destroy my children. That's God's issue, is his creation, not the physicalness of it, and certainly not Fort Knox with the gold in it, as they may are wandering into without protection, except for my bosom and truth. All are not of Christ. All are not mine. Discern, discern. That's God saying discern. Now, who's going to help in this system of discerning, trying to straighten out the body of Christ? There is a mystery, of course, and to this, but since that letter was sent to those parties, I'd like to relate to something that quite, I think it's astounding, really. It's sort of scary to me. I mean, but I'm not really, and I want to preface this, I'm not at all trying to pick on somebody that has gone on to eternity. But a letter was given by me personally, and it's addressed to Dr. Jerry Falwell, Liberty Baptist Church, Lynchburg, Virginia. And it was hand-carried to him here in Vero when he was here with his speech a year ago, almost to the day of his death. Dear Dr. Falwell, once again, the Lord has given us the opportunity to be in the presence of one another by my attendance at this prayer breakfast, February the 21st, 2006, in Riverside Park, Vero Beach, Florida. And that actually happened. And I was in my scriptural, spiritual clothing. He knew I was a priest. The three enclosures with this letter, three enclosures were given to him. You see, Jerry Falwell had three warnings in the direction that he was going was not acceptable to the Lord. The three enclosures with this letter fulfills Holy Scripture and try to bring a brother in Christianity out of error. And the reference in this letter is made to James 5, verses 19 and 20. When it is our duty, it says, to bring a brother out of error. It even covers a multitude of sins, our own sins, if we help a brother come out of error. And why was it important? Well, one thing we know is that the traditional church, Frank, had an issue of nepotism. And the bishops were building up these large empires and wealth, and shall we say, even though it was Christian and Christian intended, properties and money. We know the Falwell, ministry, was in over $100 million in its build. And that was one of the things that Dr. Falwell spoke about at his meeting, which is quite impressive, but evidently it wasn't impressive enough for God to allow him to remain here on earth. He died at the age of 73. But his point was he wanted to double and triple the size of Liberty Baptist College. Well, evidently, God is not interested in the progression of a Protestant college the size of Liberty Baptist College, because personally, if you're going to ask me as an Orthodox bishop, I'm going to say Protestantism doesn't exist in the true traditional church. That is a Protestant movement that started in 1500. But let's get to the issue. Did God really give Jerry Falwell any messages in any type of direction? Did he ask him? Certainly would include nepotism. And yet we know it's actually published that that he was preparing and left wills that stated he wanted his whole empire and control of it, and I call it an empire, giving it to his sons. And that is an act of nepotism. His two sons, he left a will, and he stipulated that they take over his work. Well, that sounds strange to me, because I'm sure in his entire organization, there were people more qualified to carry on even that Protestant Liberty Baptist College than his two sons. But see the issue here? That's sinful, to leave it to your own personal family instead of letting God choose who's going to take over, as he has done even from the first church when the 12 apostles, they were chosen because they had the Spirit. If you remember the first meeting, when seven were appointed, they had the Holy Spirit. And that's in the book of Acts. So, you know, you don't allow God, you decide yourself that, well, you know, my two sons are the qualified ones to carry out my wishes. Well, wait a minute. Is it Jerry Falwell's wishes that God wants to carry out, or is it the truth that God wants to purvey? And how are you going to correct maybe the path that this ministry was going if it keeps going to the same nepotism sons? See my point, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
And but I want to finish this letter of warning that came to him personally a year ago by my hand. The three enclosures where this letter fulfills Holy Scripture and try to bring a brother in Christ out of error, having used in the past. Now, what was one of those errors? I met Dr. Falwell years ago at First Baptist Church when he sent an individual called Dr. Gary Habermas, and he was representing the Liberty Baptist College. And as far back as then, they were in apostasy. They were using the Shroud of Turn to bring people down the aisle of confession into Christ. And he was given that letter, and that letter said something quite simple. It said, does God use a false premise to bring people to Christ at any cost? Of course not. The Shroud of Turn clearly is contradicted by Scripture. Even the Catholic Church won't accept it yet as actually of Christ, because it's exactly 14 feet long. And Scripture in the Gospel of John, and this was pointed out to Dr. Falwell and certainly to the Liberty First Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, that Scripture says clearly when Peter entered the temple, he saw two pieces of cloth and one lying on the other side of the room that covered his head. So it clearly states that there were two pieces of cloth, because God can preempt Satan anytime he likes, who wanted to show a shroud which shows with Christ's eyes closed. And we believe in the resurrection. What do you think about that, Frank?
Well, you know, also when Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days and he came out, I was reading that yesterday, he was covered. It was almost like a preview, because God wept. And I think he was weeping because he knew when he had resurrected, people wouldn't believe him. Because it said specifically that Lazarus was wrapped in cloth, and also there was something on his face too. Just like you indicated, where there were two wrappings in the tomb. He gave a preview, and even in the preview, they didn't like the movie that was going to be said, and that was going to be on, and that was Christ being resurrected.
It wasn't vindictive or a vendetta, of course, me being there. Back then, I wasn't even a bishop at the time. I was only a priest at St. Michael Academy, in fact, at the monastery, at the shrine. But the fact is, he was warned. You're in the wrong, you're going on the wrong road. Just as sure... Maybe it wasn't a sexual road, like Jerry Falwell and Jimmy Baker and Tammy Baker and the rest of that crew with PTL. But Jerry Falwell took over, and this is a fact, took over PTL. And as far as I'm concerned, took all the assets from it, and then he bankrupted it and brought it over to his Liberty Baptist College, all those assets. And if he was assigned to dissolve a ministry of God, it would be perfect news to me, and new news, because I know when God removes someone like he did Jimmy Baker, he always has a substitute and a replacement. He's not going to let a true ministry of him that's reflecting the truth, and that's the issue. But let me finish this letter. Was Jerry Falwell, adequately, did God adequately, was he adequate in warning him? Having used in the past Dr. Gary Gammer, and I'm quoting the letter that was given to him last year in Vero Beach, Dr. Gary Habermas, representing your Liberty Baptist College, and his presentation of the Shroud of Turin as authentic, with full prior knowledge to Dr. Jack Graham, pastor of First Baptist Church. Dr. Graham, by the way, leads one of the largest Protestant Baptist churches in Texas today, of West Palm Beach, Florida, to its incorrectness. For an altar walk accepting Christ when the Holy Scripture clearly states otherwise the truth about the Shroud of Turin in John 20, verse 6 through 7. And that's for all of you listeners. You want to check on this issue yourselves. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 6 through 7. And this letter I continued to Dr. Falwell last year. Brothers and sisters, I feel at this time to let you know I'm not knocking the man. I'm not against him. In fact, I weep for him because he didn't heed. I believe if he'd have heeded God's warnings, he would have lived on. But he was going in the wrong direction. He's certainly going in the wrong direction, practicing nepotism, because the entire Christian church, undivided, decided in 700 A.D. in the First Council that nepotism wasn't allowed by bishops to elect their children or their sons. That's why they sort of eliminated marriage. Otherwise, you would have illegitimate children if they did. Without marriage, it's illegitimate. They're heirs. But you're not to leave what you build with God to your children. You lead it to who God decides. My question to you is, does our Lord accept an altar call using false Christian representation as a means to salvation? And I'm referencing the Shroud of Turin. That night in West Palm Beach, 30 congregants walked the altar call after the false materialism of the Shroud was presented. They used the Shroud, a false situation, to bring people down the altar call. That's the issue here. Hurting God's children. In the spirit of Elijah, this is your third and last warning, as the Holy Scripture obligates we shepherds to correct one another in the body of Christ, especially when one is adienesis ge apostasia. What does that mean? That's the Greek for when you're born again in error. I'm not doubting his belief in his heart that he was born again. I'm not doubting that he thought he was on the right track building this large, huge Protestant establishment. But I am doubting the fact that he got involved in politics, and a letter was warning him clearly, as it warned Swigert and Baker, that God wasn't happy with the mix of politics and his faith. Now, you can mix politics with religion all you want to if you're going to relate to the Muslim religion, or if you want to relate to Al-Qaeda and what they believe in. But if you want to relate to the Christian religion, I do not believe you can possibly get the blessings of God. So he was born again in error. Holy Communion is not a memorial. Never deny the power of the Holy Spirit, Brother Falwell. One needs to be in the Holy One Apostolic Church, and love of the Blessed Virgin Mary is an important ingredient, as well as the Nicene Creed. That letter was given to him. Now, I want to read parts of Scripture, Frank. I'd like for you to read it. I hope we have time to. That relates to after being warned three times, a Christian happening years and years ago. Can you read it?
Yes.
Please.
Want me to read in yellow?
Yes, we're running out of time.
Okay, this will be the third time I'm coming to you. If I come again, I will not spare, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the powers of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you follow these and heed this.
Now, I want to complete this by saying that what are we really concluding here? Quote, unquote, we must keep America close to its Protestant Puritan ethic, unquote. And that was done by and said by and printed in the Tampa Tribune, May 16, 2007, relating to the very words of our brother who is deceased, God rest his soul, a sermon by Jerry Falwell, which was given in detail what he would do if he were, quote, the king of the world. God bless you, Jerry Falwell. I hope the Lord forgives you for the error you have infiltrated into the church during your tenure with Liberty Baptist College. I do not believe you were in God's will. Amen.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program. All approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, A-R-C-H-A-N-G-E-L, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy.